Before we get started, I just want to invite any of you that really want to be a part of this church's prayer ministry on Wednesday night. Man, it's a powerful, powerful ministry. We've prayed for people and just seen some amazing things happen. We don't have to be there with them and touch them or do anything. We speak right to our Father who goes right to whatever it is that needs to happen for His glory. And man, I am just thrilled with the power of our prayers here. We talked a little bit about it Wednesday night, and the people just aren't willing to let go of that. And that is amazing when you have a church that wants to pray. It's not the most popular thing to do these days if you're a church, just to have a prayer meeting. And I know guests come in and they feel kind of weird and uncomfortable. It just is so powerful that we just have to keep doing it. And I invite you to be a part of that with us. It's a pretty amazing thing. This week in your prayers, keep Jackie and Shirley and Ruthie in your prayers, and Carolyn and Tim has a friend, Tommy, who could really use your prayers this week. And there's just plenty to pray about, that things you might know about you don't feel comfortable sharing with us. Come out. You don't have to pray if you come for that Wednesday night prayer meeting. Everybody doesn't pray. We give everybody a chance to pray, but you don't have to. You can just quietly just sit there and pray quietly and support us in that. That's perfectly acceptable. We need that. So don't think if I come out to this, they're going to make me pray and I'm going to sound real stupid and this and that. You won't. You don't have to. But it is something. Jesus said, "My house will be called a house of prayer." And man, if we can't pray here, if there's something wrong with praying here when we gather, then we need to relook at what we're doing. So I just invite you. It's just sweet as could be. Come out with us. The weather is great. Terry and I were out in the yard yesterday, and as typical, we jump into our yard work with a vengeance. First day, the sweatshirt goes on. Boom, we're going to get it all done in one day. And we go out and we just start going. I put the big old backpack blower on her, and she was all hunched down like this, trying, "Go, baby, go!" And she was doing it. She was blowing that yard, man. I mean, she was going. I had to rake and over there, babe. Now go over there. I mean, we were doing it, weren't we, babe? Raking. We had a fire going over there and a fire going over there, and there was logs to haul, and It was fun. And I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning and my hip was hurting and my back was stiff and I couldn't go back to sleep. And I remember that how hard a work it is to work in the garden. Yeah, Esther, I know you know that. Gardening is great, but it is hard work. It can be hard work. And if you've done much weed pulling, you know the chiropractor tells you, man, be careful of that. That'll get your back. It's hard work being a gardener, a mover of the earth, a worker of the soil. And that's exactly what our parable, or not our parable, but our metaphor, our verse that we've been looking at in John chapter 15. Jesus says, "I'm the vine and my Father is the vine dresser." In some of the older Bibles, say in a King James Bible, it says the husbandman. Well, I will one-up you. In the Greek, it is the worker of the earth. The geo-orgos, the worker of the earth. Our Father's a worker of the earth. Jesus is the vine. And if you want to call Him so, and I will this morning, our Father is the gardener. He's the worker of the earth. "I'm the true vine," says John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, the worker of the earth. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, the worker of the earth. And the picture is of a vineyard. The picture is of vines growing, producing fruit, something like that. It's more of a modern arbor, but you get the picture, right? Look at the grapes. Look at the grapes. You almost, the leaves seem kind of sparse compared to the grapes, and that's what a grapevine will do when the worker of the earth is skilled and cares for it, and we let him. We produce much fruit. If you're to let this arbor go, if you're just to do nothing with it, you wouldn't have a crop like that. Might be all kinds of weeds trailing up through there and all kinds of growth producing nothing. But when the worker of the earth cares for the vines, that's what you get. We glorify God by that. We prove to be his disciples. So we have to stay. We have to stay in his care. That's what Jesus is telling us. Stay, remain, abide. Now as we look at this short section of Scripture, there is a verse right here that seems a bit odd. And I want to show you what is happening. I want to explain this verse, and that verse is verse 3. I want to show you how this connects to what Jesus is talking about and really what he's trying to say here. So this story, this teaching of Jesus, begins by saying, I'm the true vine and my Father is the worker of the earth. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it will bear more fruit. And then it just seems to come like almost out of left field. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Now, what does that have to do with the vine and the branches? The vine and the worker of the earth. Already you're clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Well, if you turn back in your Bible just a page to John chapter 13, verse 10, I'll show you. If you remember this story here, this part of that evening, what was happening, this is where Jesus washed their feet. John chapter 13, verse 10, Jesus said to Simon Peter, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but he is completely clean, and you are clean, but not every one of you, for he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, not all of you are clean. So Jesus washes their feet, and Peter says, you're not washing my feet. And Jesus says, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part of me. And in that sense, he was saying, you won't abide in me. But he said, then Peter says, well, wash all of me. And Jesus says, you've already been bathed. You're already clean. All you need is your feet washed. So he's saying, right, you've already been forgiven completely, and now you just need the daily dirt on your feet washed off. Daily you're going to sin. Daily you're going to stumble, and you just need that washed. Now you're already completely bathed. I don't need to go there again. Once you're completely bathed, you don't go there again. You just need your feet washed. You're already clean, right? So now in John chapter 15, he says, you are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. So he's saying the same thing. He's taking this teaching just a little bit farther. And he's got a little play on words going here. You are already clean. You've already been bathed. You've already been forgiven of your sins. You just need your feet washed. Well, this word for pruning is the same word for cleaning. And Jesus was doing a little play on words here. I think Mark has some Greek words for you up here. Cleaned and washed. Kathero. Got another one, Mark? He's fine. There it is. Cleaned and pruned, katharos. So kathero, katharos. You can see it. And as Jesus spoke, this is what he would have been speaking. Every branch that doesn't bear fruit is katharos. He's pruned. You are already kathero. You're already clean. So he's saying kind of the same teaching again, and he's got a play on words, but we don't see it because our English Bible go prune and clean. And Jesus is saying, well, look, you're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. But we're going to prune you. The worker of the soil is going to snip, snip so that you bear more fruit. So he's going to clean your vines. You've already been washed. You're forgiven. We're going to wash your feet. We're going to forgive you every day. You need your feet washed. You need to keep a short list. And the worker of the soil is going to come and put his hands on you and prune away some of those things that are causing your fruits to be small or weak or not at all. And here's the truth. Here's the truth for me and you. Who is it that gets pruned? It's the one bearing fruit. You say, Terry, man, I am doing so good. I am involved. I am in the church. I am going. And I have won people to Christ. I'm part of your prayer group. I work on First Fridays. Man, we are killing it. Why this? Why this? Why is he prying my fingers off of this? Why did this happen? You know I love that. Why is he? Because he wants more fruit. He's not going to stop and settle for one nice little clump here. 2018, I bore this beautiful branch of grapes right here. 2018, I had this week. I had this month, man. The fruit just went boom. Oh, you're not done. You're not done. The worker of the earth comes and he prepares you and he prunes your life periodically, ongoing, so you continue to bear more fruit. The writer of Hebrews chapter 12 put it this way. He said, lay aside all the weights and sins that so easily beset you. They hold you back. Run the race with endurance, keeping your eyes on Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. lay aside the weights and the sins and praise God, the worker of the earth, when we bear fruit, he doesn't just go, well done. He says, attaboy, I'll be back tomorrow and we will clean up your branches. We will prune that fruit. So many times, brothers and sisters are involved in doing so well and the pruner comes along and we ask why. But we have a good, good Father. We have a good, good Father. He's a good, good worker of the earth. He knows his grapes. He knows his vines. He knows his branches. And he gets right in each branch, each one. He has to go through that branch and pick them up and move them over and look around and cut carefully here. He's such a skilled worker. Such a skilled Father. It's just the love that goes into this action. The care. He's a beautiful Father. Great worker of the earth. That's what Jesus was trying to teach here. He said, you've been washed and we're going to wash your feet. And you're like this beautiful grape arbor. But we just got to keep producing more fruit. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it. He cleans it. He removes things that won't help us bear more fruit. Already you're clean because of the word I've spoken to you. You've already been forgiven. You've already been bathed. We don't need to go there again. Just abide in me. Just stay the course. Stay on the vine. Stay there. Let the vine dresser have his way. Let him do his work. Pretty amazing stuff. They were in danger. They were in a really precarious place. If you look at just across the page, John chapter 16, verse 1. John chapter 16, verse 1. After Jesus finishes this kind of teaching, this is what he says. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. So he's told them over and over, abide in me, stay. 11 times in my Bible he told them to stay. This night was going to unfold. It was going to get horrible in a hurry. And you know how life can change just like that. They had no idea what was coming. And he said, I am going to tell you ahead of time. Now, I'm repetitive, right? And you've said it, and I don't, man, you're not going to hurt my feelings to say, Terry, you keep repeating that. Terry, you keep repeating, you say it over and over and over and over. But if you're having a conversation with Jesus and he says 11 times in one chapter, stay. Stay put. Don't run. Don't go nowhere. I think he's trying to tell us something. When life goes upside down, stay put. Stay with me on this. When life goes bad, it goes in a different direction. This is not the way I planned my life to be. This is not what I thought it was going to look like. This is not what my marriage was going to look like. This is not what my kids were going to look like. This is not what anything was going to look like. Not what my health. I had no plans of this. I don't know what's going on. I've been walking with the Lord. I've been trying. But man, things are upside down. Stay. Stay with the vine. Stay in it. That's what he's saying. I've said these things to keep you from falling away. Falling away is just one of my favorite words in the Bible. It does not mean you're going to walk away from your faith. It's the word scandalon. If you're familiar with the scandalon is the box trap. There, say this is a box, and you put a stick right here, so the rabbit comes along, and there's a carrot there, and he hits that stick, and it goes, and it catches him. Like your raccoon trap you may have out in your backyard now. There's a trip door there, and when the raccoon goes in, the door goes closed. It's the scandalon. You're getting tripped up. And he tells them, he says, stay with me. Don't get tripped up. Don't get trapped. Oh man, you know the story. Peter was this close, wasn't he? I don't know him. I don't know him. I've never seen him before. I don't know him. You're one of them. No, I don't run with them. I mean, Peter was this close. He said, I'm telling you, Peter, I'm telling you guys, 11 times, stick it out with me. Stay on the vine. You can't do anything without me. You're one of mine. You've been chosen. You've been washed. You can't do anything apart from me. Stay with me. Stay with me. And this day, this night, your life is going to go upside down. Stay with me. If we didn't have such an amazing, amazing God, if we didn't have such an amazing Father, if we didn't have such an amazing Word where He tells us things ahead of time, it would be hard. Sometimes it's hard now. But we have to keep going back. Keep going back to the Father. Keep going back to the worker of the earth. Keep going back to the Creator who sent His Son to die for us. We have to keep going back. So, the worker of the earth comes with his pruning shears to clean away things we love. Sins, weights that slow us down, passions that suck the nutrients away from the grapes and put them into things of this world, things of this life that don't matter. They're never going to produce grapes. And he has to cut away those things because, like on a grape branch, they begin to grow and they start out small and they're just these little suckers. And all of a sudden, they're this branch that's going out and going over here and it's just taking so much that the grapes are just becoming nothing. If we don't get rid of those little things we love, little things we think we have to have, little things we cherish. It gets the attention away from the grape, so to speak. And along comes the Father. Snip, snip. Snip, snip. Snip, snip. It must be. It must be our tendency to run. It must be, right? I mean, it must be our tendency to go, I think I'm missing something. I'm out of here. It must be our tendency to go, this God thing can't be right because this isn't what I signed up for. I mean, I was in church and I was in it to win it, man. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. I was in it, and if I can't have a little, if I can't have this little stub of my passionate pleasure over here, man, he saw that thing starting to go and he went snip. Oh, he's done. He's like, wait a minute. Man, I got all these grapes going here and this little sucker comes up here and you're going to snip it all. I can't. Can I have any fun? Can I do anything? It must be something built in us that says, I'm out of here. This is too hard. I should be getting rewarded or thanked, man. I mean, look at them grapes. You should be patting me on the back. Instead, here he comes. Snip, snip. So he has to tell him 11 times. Wait, whoa, whoa, stay. Just sit down. Stop. Remain. Stay. Stay with me. Stay with me. And listen, listen. Let me just make this simple for you. Listen to what he says. Stay with me. Abide with me. I'm your home. I'm where you belong, right? I mean, you're a branch, I'm the vine. You belong with me. This is your home. This is where you belong. In the arbor, producing grapes. This is your home. Stay with me. He says, stay with me and you'll bear much fruit. You'll bear much fruit. Not a little fruit, a lot of fruit. Stick it out with me. You're going to bear some fruit and the worker's going to come along and he's going to snip, snip, and you're going to bear a lot of fruit. Is there anyone here who doesn't want to bear a lot of fruit for Jesus and for God? Raise your hand. I don't want to bear fruit for God. No? Nobody here. Okay. Well, amen. He said, you stay with me. You let my Father come and pick up your branches and look you over and snip, snip. You're going to do that. You are going to do that. Promise. I promise. He says, without me, you can't do anything. Nothing. But if you stay with me, you can do anything. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? Amen. You can go through it and bear fruit in it. And go through a good time and bear fruit. You could come to First Fridays and eat like pig. You could come to First Fridays and get yourself messy with the taco bar. And you can go through a horrible, horrible time and bear all kinds of fruit for Jesus. You can do all things through Christ, the vine who strengthens you and lets his life flow into your branches. You can do anything. Truthfully, you can do exceedingly abundantly more than you can ask or think if you stay. The possibilities are endless if you stay. That's what Jesus is saying. Stick around. You're going to produce and do things. You're going to see things you can't imagine. He says here, and this is really close to our heart right here. Stick around and pray effectively. Pray effectively. You hear what he said here in this verse? I'm looking. If verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Stay in the vine. Stay producing. Let the worker of the soil get his dirty hands on you and them sharp, cold pruning shears. Just let him show you the love of the gardener. Don't run. And you pray. You pray. You ask whatever you want. And you see if you don't get it. Now, I am not talking about asking for that Harley Davidson down the road. I am talking about you are bearing fruit. We're bearing fruit. This is critical for us. You know why? Because some of you have had your eyes on a piece of potential fruit for a long time. You've been on the vine, and you've had this thought in your mind, I want that to be my fruit right there. I want that, Lord. Let's bear fruit. Come on, I'm asking you. Come on, help me. I want that fruit. I want to bear fruit there, at that house, in that life, at that person. Abide in me. Ask me. We're on the same page here. We're fruit producers, right? This is Welch's grape juice or something. We're all on the same team. You've had your eyes on something over there. You want some fruit right there. You aren't going to get it if you don't abide in me. But if you abide in me, oh, I'm going to give you that fruit and all that fruit and all that fruit, and we're going to build an arbor up over here because you're going to bear so much fruit because we had a good, good Father. Who's a good, good worker of the earth. And you're thinking really small right there. You're just thinking one little cluster right there. Oh, you have no idea. But you stay on the vine and you pray and you talk to me about that. You abide in me. Stay in me. I'll give you what you want. That's what he says. You want to produce fruit there? All right. But you got to let me prune you. You got to let me prune you. Okay? You got to stay and you got to let me prune you. You got to let me do it. I know how to do it. Trust me. Pray effectively. Stay with me and pray effectively. And some of you say, and this is a phrase. It's okay. I prefer to throw it in the trash. I won't get after you too bad. There's a phrase floating around that says, share Jesus, use words if necessary. I've thrown that in the trash. And the phrase is, the meaning is, if you just love people, that's good enough. You don't got to talk about it. I've thrown that one in the trash because you've got to talk about it. Jesus spoke these words. You are clean because of the words I've spoken to you. You got to speak about it. You think it's the right Christian answer to say, well, just love. That's where I just want to be, in love. Just be in love. It's just love. It's just, okay. Well, let me just share with you. If that's your answer, really, you have a one-page Bible. And if I had my Bible up here, I'd tear that page out and just say, here, throw the rest of your Bible away. Here's your Bible. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. There, that's your Bible. But for some reason, I got 66 books telling me how to love. Love in everything you do. Oh, the Word of God. Yeah, it's profitable. Doctrine, teaching, reproving, rebuking, correcting. The man of God might be perfect, adequately equipped for every good work in love. But I still got to do all that. I got all that to teach me how to love in every circumstance, in every way. So you say, well, I just want to stay in love. Jesus says this, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Let me abide in you and let you abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have. Now, come on. If Jesus had to keep the commandments, then we have to. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and I abide in his love. Abide in my love. I'm all for love, but that doesn't negate anything else. Jesus says, you still have to stay in me and do a little work while you're there in my commandments. You got to keep my commandments. Oh, Terry, you're so serious about this vineyard stuff, about this Jesus stuff. I'm just going to love people. You ain't if you don't abide in the vine. I'll tell you that right now. You have no idea what love is. Abide in my commandments, and I will teach you how to love in every situation, every circumstance. I'll give you the answer in love, how you act. Whether it's teaching, reproving, or rebuking someone. Or the Father comes along in love with the... in love. Because He wants you to bear more fruit. That's love. That's love. The branches that don't bear fruit, if you don't abide in me, you're thrown away like a branch and wither, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. I'm going to say I want to bear fruit. I'm volunteering for the fruit line. Are you with me? I don't want the rake line, I want the fruit line. That's love, Father. Go ahead, prune me. Go ahead, chop away. Boom, 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 boom. Let's go. Because I want my prayers answered. I've got my eyes set on some fruit I want to produce over here. You are good. Chop, chop. Because I don't want the rake line. I had the burn piles going yesterday. It doesn't look like fun. It is love when the Father prunes. It is love. It's hurtful, but it is love. Because our verse says, I've begged you to abide in me. I'm explaining to you before it happens. Abide in me. Stay, please stay, please stay, please stay, please stay, please stay. Your prayers will be answered. You're gonna produce fruit like that arbor. It's amazing. This is your home. You know it's your home. Stay in me, stay in me, stay in me. I'm going to blow your mind with what you can do. Stick around, stick around, stick around. I've said these things. I've spoken these things that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. I know the path to joy. This is it. This is it. I didn't say fun. I know the path to joy. I didn't say this is the path to money. I said this is the path to joy. I didn't say this is the path to more sex. I didn't say this is the path to this. I said this is the path to joy. My joy in you. Full. Stick around. Trust the good, good Father. Trust the worker of the earth. Stick around. So let me close with two observations. Your God, our God, our good Father, let's just go right back to 101. Your God, your Father, our Creator, has just called Himself a gardener. Okay? We like to call Him my Father. All right. Our God has just drawn a word picture and called Himself a gardener. A worker. He's not just up there, just out there, just, woo, where are you? Oh, somewhere above all, high and lifted up on a throne with angels and a crystal sea. And man, I just, someday I can only imagine, as the song says. And then he draws this word picture. And he says, you know, life is really like a garden, and I'm the gardener. That's pretty cool. That means, as well as being this magnificent, splendid, holy God, so far up there, I can't even imagine. It also means he steps into my life, into the dirt, and kneels down in the dirt of my life, picks up branches and dusts them off and cares for them and works with them. It also means he comes by regularly and just looks at me and holds me in his hands. So what do I got to do to this precious branch to bear more fruit? Should I snip here or should I just kind of move it over? What do I need to do for this branch? It means he's active in our life. It means he cares deeply what's growing in our life. And he'll move in our life. What a good Father. What a great God we serve. Stay with him. With this metaphor, the picture. Can you grab that picture again, Mark? You'll notice in this picture what looks like there must be many branches through this arbor. I mean, that's not just one branch. There's branches kind of on top of branches on top of branches back and forth through that arbor that this vine dresser cares for. And there are branches here, interweaving in and out. And he's able to care for us as we all mingle together and intertwine and hold each other up and strengthen each other. They actually help each other. Actually support each other. And the vine dresser says, yeah, you guys are going to just be this big cluster of branches all hooked onto that one big old vine right there, a trunk. I've got you. I've got this. I'll prune away the branches that aren't really producers. They're just part of this thing and they're really not doing anything. I'll get rid of those. But the rest of you are just going to all support and work together for fruit. And I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to put my hands on you and care for even this little flock here, even this little vineyard here. We have a good, good gardener. He'll care for us if we stay on the vine. Even a little arbor can produce a lot of grapes. And our God knows just what it takes for this arbor to produce a lot of grapes. So the question for us is, will we trust the vine dresser? Will we trust him? Or do we want to be on the arbor taking care of our own branch? Thank you very much. I think I'm going to grow my way. I don't know why my life turned this way. I don't know that I can trust the good, good gardener. I like the good, good father, but I don't know about the good, good gardener. Do you trust him? Will you stay the course his way? Believe he knows how you're going to produce fruit. Prove you're his disciple and that Jesus knows the way to his joy being in you and your joy exploding with joy. Grapes, fruit. Can you trust him? Can you give him every little branch and twig and say, go for it, you're a good, good gardener? That's the question. Oh man, this night is going to get so scary for them. We can't comprehend it. We really can't comprehend what happened that night. Think about it. He's saying, I'm leaving, I'm going away. You have no idea what's going to happen in a few hours. They are watching their Messiah bleeding from head to toe, being whipped, scourged, and then nailed to that cross. And he's saying, stay with me. Stay with me. Father, they don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. Wash them. Clean them. Prune them. And from that cross, he says, stay with me. I told you 4 hours ago, stay with me. Stay with me. He suffered the pain. He suffered the pain our little pruning is never going to amount to. Stay with him. Do you know another God like this? Is there some other religion that says, I love you. I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to get down the dirt with you and love you so much till you're just exploding with grapes and fruit and joy. Is there some other religion like this? Or are they saying, no, you got to blow yourself up and then you get 10 virgins. And then you get, I don't want 10 virgins, all right? I'm happily married. Thank you very much. Think about this God. Think about this God that calls himself a gardener. Says, I want my hands all over you. Stay with him. He's good. Go his way. Go his way. I know it's a big book. Go his way. And he's written the book on gardening. Trust him. Got some? Come on up. Man, I hope in your mind's eye right now you're not just picturing yourself, but you're picturing us. Look at that arbor and picture us. Wouldn't it be cool if we, as all these branches just kind of like this, do that. There's some pruning going on. There's some rubbing going to go on. There's some rebuking and reproving and correcting and instructing in righteousness. Yes, because God uses people. But man, stick it out. Stick it out. I hope that picture of those grapes just locks into your mind. That's what we can be. Because our Father knows what it takes to produce grapes. We can do it. The gardener, a good gardener, knows where your joy lives. You may have lost it. You don't know where it's at right now. It's feeling kind of tough. Your Father knows where your joy is at. Your Father knows what it takes to get there. Will you trust Him? Will you trust Him? You won't do anything on your own. But with Him, you're going to produce a lot of grapes. When I look at this picture of that vineyard, of that arbor, did any of you think to yourself, man, I wish I could grow an arbor like that? Who grew this thing? Who did this thing? How do you get grapes like that on it? I've never seen grapes like that on an arbor. I want to talk to that person. Teach me. That's what this is really about. It's the glory of the vine dresser. We have an amazing vine dresser. We have an amazing God, an amazing Father. He knows where our joy is at. He knows where the fruit's to be found. And everyone will say, amen. Who grew you? Who's your vine dresser? That's what we want, isn't it? Lord, thank you. Thank you for this picture, this teaching that Jesus taught at the end of His earthly life. The Bible says, having loved His own, He loved them to the end by teaching them beautiful, beautiful stories. Beautiful metaphors of His Father, who He followed, who He listened to, who He kept His commands. He abided in His love and He glorified. Father, glorify Yourself. Glorify Yourself in us, in this arbor, Lord, in this grapevine. Lord, be here. Be with us. May You bear fruit here and people say, who is Your God? Thank You for the prayers You're already answering. People are supposed to die and they live. Lives changed, turned around. Lord, bear fruit. Prune us so we can bear more. You are good. You are good. We love You. Glorify Yourself now. In Jesus' name, amen. See you guys.